Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the last phone conference preparation training for the 2018 candidates. Hallelujah. It is countdown to glory.
Yes.
Hallelujah. We are excited in high preparation and in high praise, thanking God for the journey, for your faithfulness, for your spiritual growth and development, thanking him that he has matured and strengthened you, given you the anointing to go forth in your destiny. So we're going to just ask, we've got a lot we want to cover tonight. And we want you to definitely be comfortable in the knowledge that you have of those things that are coming next week and your responsibilities for them. We will ask that a man of God on the line prepare yourself to open us up in prayer. Amen. Don't all of y'all start praying at once, even though if you do, the Lord will hear you both. Hallelujah. Hello, men of God. Okay, come on. You're one. Come on.
Okay.
Come closer to the phone. We have a man of God who said, me? Yeah, I am Lord. Use me. All right.
Jesus grew.
Amen. A word of wisdom in the name of Jesus from the young ones. We train them up so that when they get older, they will not depart. Praise the Lord. We have a lot of Amen. Hallelujah. We want to get started right away, and so we will open up with those who are going to give us their presentation for today. I believe we have in the wings waiting. And I printed it out so I would have everything, and I don't have it. Okay. But today, emerging Pastor Sonya Norwood and Pastor Thresa McMillan are going to bring us the accountability in Christ. Are you ladies prepared? Pastor McMillan to introduce to us emerging Pastor Sonya Norwood. Amen. It's Pastor Norwood on the line. Forgive your overseer. You're probably on the line, but you are muted because I didn't move anybody. I am so sorry. Hallelujah. You're probably speaking, going, I'm trying to talk, and she doesn't hear me. Okay, there we go as we open up the line. Opening up the line. Amen. As they open, you're just amening, and I thank God for you. Let me know that it's working. Hallelujah, Jesus. You wonder why isn't anybody saying anything? Okay. I'm sure our men of God were on the line trying to open up. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And now you may do so. We are
right.
Open and ready. Yes.
All right.
Amen.
All right. Who's praying?
Amen.
Who? Nobody prayed yet?
No.
Well, yes, actually.
Oh.
We prayed.
Can you say that one more time?
I just didn't want one of our men of God to have been on the line and they weren't able to because I did not open the line up.
Oh, well, say less. Okay, I'll wait. Just call my name if necessary.
Oh, all right. So we have the emerging pastor, Melvin Abante. Are you on the line? And Abel, I'm trying to see a voice, you can't do those things. Minister. Antonio Miles. Emerging Pastor Joseph Bivens. All right. So, we did this. Yes, sir. I heard somebody say over here.
Yes, sir.
Yeah?
Yes, Minister Antonio Miles is on the line now.
Go right ahead.
Are we ready?
In the name of Jesus.
Oh.
Lord, we thank you this evening for, Lord God, your provision. We thank you, Lord God, for this evening, Lord God, phone call. We thank you, Lord God, for the ordination process and, Lord God, bringing, Lord God, to fruition all that you have ordained and purpose. We thank you, Lord God, for this time, Father. We pray, Lord God, that you would speak right now, that you would move, Lord God, in, as we, Lord God, everyone that would talk and share information. We thank you, Lord God, for you are light, and that, Lord God, there is no darkness in you. God, we bless you, and we thank you, Lord God, once again for this opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 So do ask anybody else if you're not ready to present, if you can put your phones on mute, that way it cuts down on a lot of the background sounds that we hear, and we will prepare to go forward with Pastor Dressa and our emerging Pastor Sonia Norwood. Okay.
This is Pastor Dressa. And it is my honor to humbly present candidate emerging pastor Sonia Norwood, who is a leader of Kingdom International Women's Ministry and head of the Wailing Women that consists of seven women under her, and she makes the eighth participant. They have morning prayer daily, and it's my honor because someone's not on mute, and it's making a lot of noise for myself. It's my honor because Sonia is a woman of God who is currently walking as a living epistle to be read by everyone. It's my honor because she has the Spirit of God written in her heart rather than in a heart of stone. I'm humbled as I watch her walk out and forward in faith and trust of God in what could but is not for her a difficult season. And we believe God for all that he's doing in her life at this time. I'm humbled because she is a woman in whom God has imparted wisdom and business acumen as she walks out the ministry of Wailing Women on behalf of the body of Christ. And I'm humbled because in all of this, I have been made accountable for her, which is a high honor indeed. I give to you now, Pastor Sonia Norwood.
Amen, amen. God bless you, Pastor Tressa, Overseer Paulette, Apostle Charnette, and all the ministry team. I thank God for this opportunity. I don't take it lightly to be in front of you guys, so I won't be long. I won't go over my time, so you can start the clock now, Overseer. so I can stay within the time zone. You guys have allotted me. My scripture comes from Accountable in Christ, Galatians 6, chapter 6, verses 1 through 2. Galatians 6, 1, 2 says, "Brothers, if someone is caught in sin, you who are spiritual should restore them gently. But watch yourself, or you may also be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If your accountability friend has done something contrary to the Bible, you are called to confront him gently. Forgive him and confront him. It also admonishes you to consider yourself, because you, no one is above temptation." Another aspect of Christian accountability is encouraging each other to grow in spiritual maturity. Hebrews 10:24 says, "And let us consider how we spur one another onward toward love and good deeds." 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, "Encourage one another and build each other up." Are you accountable? Do you have a friend to whom you can go? Will that person hold you accountable in your spiritual walk? Are you the type of person that people can come to when they need accountability? Do you want to be a Christian accountability partner? Some of these questions I ask my own self as I go through this walk myself recently. Some of you guys know my husband just recently passed away in May, and I have 6 children, 5 which are adult children. And talking with them, they tell me, "Mom, sometimes you don't understand, you don't get it, because you're not a babe in Christ. You know, you're a mature person in Christ who's on meat, not on milk. You don't understand." So I constantly find myself going back to God and say, "God, what am I doing wrong? What am I saying or not saying properly so they can get it? Maybe I need to do more listening than talking. Tell me more understanding." Because above all, you want your family to get the wisdom and knowledge they need to have to move forward in this life. And they've questioned a lot of things about their father's transition, about living style. What they use certain cuss words, and, you know, you don't understand about being single. A lot of questions have come up, you know, a lot, and we go back and forth, and it's like I'm getting in a battle, you know, but God reminds me, you know, sometimes I get a little heated, I have to go back to the scripture again, you know, to gently forgive them and confront them, you know, in kindness, the same love that God showed me, that drew me in, I want that same love to draw them in. Because God will not speak to us that way and harshly and beat us down, you know, and say, "You're wrong and you that did this right, you know, your sins." We already know that we are people who have, we all know that we have fallen short of the glory of God. And so when we first became a Christian, I freely confessed my sin because I was actually aware of God's grace and his forgiveness. I knew that the depths of my heart that were meant to be forgiven by God. But now I've come into more knowledge, coupled with some studies of godliness to lead not in pride, but I begin to grow in God and be understanding and more forgiving of others and drawing them in, saying their goal is to get knowledge of who God is, to have his wisdom, and God's goal is for them to be loved and to be drawn in by that love and know that he is a Father, Abba Father, who stands waiting for us to give us guidance and direction and protection and to give us answer. God wants to answer all their prayers, all their concerns. He has Holy Spirit, if you acknowledge him in all thy ways, he will direct your path. So I'm asking the Holy Spirit to direct my path, to be more accountable, to be able to have people that people will call me and ask me questions about, "What do you think about this?" And I can draw them in with kindness and love, you know, but and comfort, but also give them the word of wisdom and knowledge and not beat them over the head with the word to make me feel guilty. They think, "Oh, I better go join church because if I don't, I'm going to hell." Well, we all know that's evident of anybody who doesn't accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But is that how Christ drew us in, telling us if you don't come to church and you don't join the ministry, you're going to hell? No, he drew us in by love and kindness. Someone in our lives drew us in with the love of Christ. And that's what we're accountable for. We want ultimately to be accountable. We know it means to be always to draw us. The friendships that we have, the people and fellowship with others, to ourselves, to our coworkers, our marketplace ministry, to our church. But we will be drawn in through humility as far as to help God, people see the God in us. And the people around us can see the God in us and see how we're sharing and loving and praying with others to eventually teach them how to cast their cares on God, for he cares for them truly. And he bears their weight. He loves us with unfailing love. 1 Peter 5:7. God graciously reminds us that apart from him, we can do nothing. One great one means that reminds us that God, to love your brothers and your sisters, and you put people put in your life and you're drawn to. So I've used the situation to be more accountable to my family at home, because my first ministry is to my family, so they'll see the Christ in me and it'll draw them in, even their questions. And so I can be a living epistle, as Pastor Tressa said earlier. We all want to be read of men and others. So our love draws people in and not pushes them away. And I just thank God for opportunities to be accountable. I'm growing in Christ because I'm more accountable every day. And I thank God for opportunity to come before you guys. And I look forward to seeing you guys next weekend. But I want to say God bless all of you. Amen.
Amen. On the moment. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Thank you so much. Any comments, insights, questions for Emerging Pastor?
Overseer?
Yes.
Yes, this is Elder Deborah. I just wanted to say, Pastor Norwood, two things that really jumped out to me when you mentioned that maybe the Lord was trying to get you to listen more. I think that is so crucial for us, for all of us, to listen more. And then the second point, when you stress the whole idea that we draw folks by love, I think this particular one, this element of accountability where it talks about restoration and if someone is overtaken in a fault, that those of us that are spiritual, I think it's, you know, we really need to key in on this one. And thank you, Pastor Norwood, for highlighting those things. I think it is definitely something in the body of Christ for the whole restoration piece. Sometimes, you know, they talk about us just shooting our wounded in the kingdom. I say that tongue in cheek, but we need to really be mindful and loving, not only in drawing people in, but in the restoration. So great job. Thank you very much for sharing. And God bless and see you
Thank
next
you.
Week.
God bless you.
Thank you. God bless
Amen.
You.
Amen.
Thank you. Amen. Praise
Amen.
God.
Anyone else?
Overseer.
Yeah.
This is Evangelist Jewel out of Dallas. And I just want to say, Emerging Pastor, you hit it on the head for me. As an evangelist, I mean, every word that you said, how we have to continue to be loving to draw people towards Christ, and your transparency, even with your adult children, because I'm sure that my parents feel the same way that you feel about me and my siblings. And then we don't always follow the way that they have trained us, you know, and so to just still be loving and to hear us out. And I know that your children appreciate that. I can say that I'm 35, and so I can say I appreciate my parents just hearing me out. They're probably shaking their heads. So God bless you for that.
Oh, God bless you too.
Amen.
Man. My older daughter, she's 36, and she, I believe, iron sharpens iron. She must be the iron God is using, because she is the one who always have a lot to say, and she doesn't understand how God does things. And the biggest thing for my kids is the transition of their father. Why we were praying, you know, even my 13-year-old says, Mom, I don't want to pray anymore. I prayed to God that he would save my father. He didn't. I prayed to God to save my auntie who died last year, and he didn't. Why should I pray? These are questions that not only do my children ask me, but I know God's preparing me, because when we go out to the world, they're going to ask the same questions.
Absolutely.
Amen.
And we have to ask some real answers Absolutely. About what we say about that.
Amen.
Amen.
And also for Emerging Pastor, one of the things, you know, you were saying, you know, even when you don't have anything you can give them to say to them, your life is what they're reading. And your life is reading the uncompromisable faith that you have in God. And that is what will draw them. And so we don't often have the words. But if we live the word, then the word will Amen. Take root and address the issues that arise in those that are around us. Particularly, like you say, your first ministry is to your family and to your children. And so I do pray that the evangelist particularly Excuse me, because in that sorry, in their contact with those that are unchurched, the emerging pastor Norwood is a marketplace pastor. And so God has given her that heart. He's given her what she is going to need in order to minister to those that are not in the four walls. So the importance of the different anointings that are on your life are going to become more and more clear as you go forth. Yes?
Yeah. You know, I had a comment on that too, and that's what I was thinking when she was talking and she said preparing her to go out. And I was thinking of the pastoring outside of the four walls, even from the homework question we had. And in other words, there too, you need to as well be able to show them what the word says. And then also in that remembering, if you can really reach them or be able to listen to what they're saying, that you can bring back what the word says about that or direct them into what it says, that they can listen to what the word says. Because in that question says too, like, how we is it going to affect hell? Well, if you remember, those angels were affected because they were listening to the wrong thing, the wrong person. So as the pastor outside of the four walls too, I think one of the key things is to hear what they're saying and then respond through the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
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 Praise God. Amen.
One thing that really struck out to me was her response to her children when they were saying that she didn't understand. And her reaction or response was to go to God and pray, to get him to show her, tell her how to respond, what to say. So that lets me know she's a very humble person, regardless of what's going on out, maybe you know or not. But her main person, her main line is going back into prayer to get it from God, to have clarity, and to know how to express it back. You know, that was one very important thing that I heard from the beginning when she said she would go back in prayer and ask God where, how, you know, the situation. Yeah,
absolutely. I am seeing uncovering in the things that you send in what your heart is and the power of your ministry. Now for Minister Lejean has a prayer ministry. It's very obvious. And it's interesting that because my prayer is that as you come to know those that labor among you, that you will start connecting. There's some powerful things going on. One of the things, Minister Lejean, that you have done and you said to me on a regular basis is for every heart precept, you have a prayer. You have a prayer for every heart precept. And when we combine, you can make a booklet of 33 prayers for the heart of God in just the prayers that you've done for this consecration. And so there's some powerful stuff coming out of this class. We have others that are looking at it, and they're looking at it in different perspectives. And when you put all of those together, you have a powerful teaching anointing to bring to the people the heart of God, the precepts of the Sermon on the Mount. I'm really excited. I don't know if we're going to ever get everything done, because once we get going, we just keep getting going. So we do want to give Elder Sherita opportunity to give you some last-minute instructions, and then Bishop is on the line, is going to share about the elders as well as give you some definitions of some terms that you may see on the program and the different things that you're going to be exposed to over the weekend. And maybe your family and friends may ask, well, what does this mean? Well, why are they saying it that way? And so you'll have some insight as to that. And the bishop will give us some insight as to that, and then some final words from Apostle and myself as we close it out, this phone conference for 2018. So, Minister Sherita, Elder Sherita.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
On next Thursday, when everyone arrives at the hotel, the first thing that you're going to do is you're going to come to the lower level of the hotel, which is considered the Sienna Foyer, and that is where registration check-in is at. And registration check-in begins at 8 a.m. So at the registration check-in, you're going to sign in. You're going to receive your registration packet, your conference schedule, and your name badge. And just be sure that your name badges are worn throughout the conference weekend. And then for candidates, you are going to check your garments in at registration as well. Now, Overseer, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe the only item that they're not checking in is their collars, because they're going to be anointed during the morning glory service Saturday.
They will check in every piece. We'll just bring it in just like we're going to bring all the other pieces in. We will bring them into the morning glory service. And also, elders, do you want them to be checking in their garments when they register, or do you want a specific time for them to bring their garments to be checked in?
You know what, there will be, we can give them a specific time.
Okay.
To check the garments in.
All right.
So you can kind of hold. So when you come to the registration check.
Go ahead.
So when you come, I'm sorry. So when you arrive at the registration check-in table, you can check in as normal, but you can hold on to your garments, and then we'll let you know the time that you can check your garments in. And so then in regards to the banquet tickets, you will also receive your banquet tickets at the registration resource table as well. And for those that have purchased banquet tickets for your guests, we're going to give you those, their tickets as well, and then you'll be responsible for making sure that your guests receive their tickets. And everyone has to have a ticket before they enter the banquet door, because you will not be able to get in without your ticket. As it relates to hotel check-in, it's not until 3 p.m., so we do recommend that you leave your luggage in your car until you are able to check in. If you are going to be dropped off or you just need to store your luggage, we can coordinate that with the front desk. And then for the conference schedule, we did send out the overall conference schedule for that weekend. It is being modified, but for candidates, you will receive your schedule for the weekend when you arrive at the conference. And I believe that's everything that I have, Overseer.
Okay, thank you. Now, there are some details that one of the things, there's last-minute banquet requests. They're going to have to go through the apostle. We are at maximum, and we've turned the final numbers in. However, if there are any adjustments to things that may happen, that would only be cleared through the apostle. She would have that information. And we need to share with you the fact that the seating is going to be first come, first serve, unless you bought a table for 8 or 10 people. Or 12. You bought a table, put a total 8 at a table, or a total 10 at the table, or a total 12 at the table, then you have reserved seating. If you have not, and your group is coming, you know, 2 or 3 people are coming together, it is going to be seated by first come, first serve. You cannot save a place at a table. And if you need to either come in, you need to come in together and be timely in order to be able to sit together. There is a seating purchase. All right. I do want to apologize to Pastor T. I spelled your name wrong. I do apologize for that. Forgive me. So you see that we have need of, what do you call people that, you know, reach your stuff over before you pass it out? Whatever they are, we need them. Editors, okay, or proofreaders, and stuff like that. Amen, amen. Okay, so we want to, to remind you to definitely, yes, yes.
I had a question in regards to the banquet. I know we're at the tail end of discussion of that. I wanted to know if there was any way we can, if we can buy additional tickets.
That's something you'll have to clear with the apostle. You're going to have to text it, your request to apostle. As I said, we're at our max, and the only way that the additional can come is if there are cancellations or anything of that nature. And that you would have to clear with the apostle. You can text her at 773-779-2900. That's 773-779-2900. All right. We cannot stress enough. Write your name or your initials on every piece and item of your garment. Even if you have them in a Ziploc and your name is on the Ziploc bag, put your name or your initial on every item that you are going to check in. You're going to check in and you're going to sign for it with Elder Sherita. All right. Well, I say initials if it's a piece of garment that's so small you can't write your own name on it. Okay, and I understand that, you know, and I understand we really need your whole name. All right, your whole name is at all possible. If there's not enough room for your whole name, put something that's indicating that will give them an idea that it belongs to you. Okay, so... Okay. Don't forget to inform your guests that you asked to be a part of your vestment, that they must make the meeting 4 o'clock on both days, 4 o'clock on both days in the Siena 3 and 4. It's called the Ecumenical Immersion Specialty Training. That's the way you will see it on the schedule. You will be given a schedule for your track when you, after you register for the conference, you will proceed to Siena 1, and there you will receive your information and your registration package, your conference packages for the track that you are going to be going through. Your guests are welcome to join you in your track. If they are leaders and they are clergy or any individual that would like to go to the general session, they are definitely free to go to the general session. There's some powerful classes going on, and there's a class every hour that has a theme that is going to culminate on Friday, a theme that is going to culminate on Friday. The candidates, you're not going to be a part of that, but you do have the paperwork that you will have to go over because you are mandated to go to that worship service at 7, 8 o'clock. All right. At 7 o'clock, it'll say atmosphere release, and then at 8, it is when the surgical procedure is going to take place. Make sure that your luggage is tagged, so that no matter where it is you leave it, you will have good identification for it, so there's no mix-up. The breakfast is going to be on Thursday for those that check in on Wednesday. For those that check in on Wednesday, when you check in, you will be given your breakfast voucher, and that Thursday morning, you will have breakfast in the restaurant. In the restaurant between 6:30 and 9 a.m. 6:30 and 9 a.m. breakfast at the restaurant. And you will need your tickets. You will need your tickets. When you get your tickets, if you lose them, you're done. You've got to keep up with your tickets, honestly. There is no leeway as it relates to that. Also, when you come in on Friday or when you register Thursday or Friday at the hotel, you will be given your tickets for breakfast for Friday and Saturday and Sunday. Yes, Apostle. She's shaking her head. Yes.
Because they won't get tickets for.
You get that from Minister Sharita. No. One moment, please.
They will not get.
All right. You won't need a ticket for Friday's breakfast, Saturday's breakfast, and Sunday's breakfast. There'll be no tickets because it is only in the Mahogany Ballroom, 1 through 3. So you will not get a ticket if you register at the hotel on Thursday, Friday, or Saturday. You will just come to the Mahogany Ballroom, and that's on the main level at between 6:30 and 9, we will be served breakfast. Okay, and your guests. Okay. Huh? Whoever is sharing your room. There's 2 breakfasts for room. All right. So it will be done according to the room list. All right. Now we have other directions we can give you at the conference. But those are the initial things that you're going to encounter when you first get on site. Are there any questions or concerns? Any questions or concerns?
Yes, overseer.
Please state your name.
This is Minister Legit. I have a question for the witnesses. Who witnessed you? What is the time limit? And is there a format?
The time limit is 1 minute. They must witness to the fact that you, Minister Legene, would be elevated to as an evangelist. They must be able to witness to the fact and seeing that anointing in your life. They have 1 minute to do so. And women must not have phantoms. They are to come forward. When they hear your name called, they will be given direction as to where they will come and stand. Okay? So they need to be listening. Okay?
Okay, thank you.
Question? You're welcome.
That was it. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else? Questions?
Hi, this is Madison C.C. Miles.
Yes.
Hello. Hi. My question is regarding the tippet. Is the tippet supposed to have one seal on any one particular side of it, or should it be 2 seals on both sides of it?
Okay. The only patch that you will have on your tippet, if it is your ministry, then it is on the left side of the tippet, 5 inches from the bottom.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the question. And so it wouldn't be the minister. Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Any other ministry is on the left side. It's on the right side, I'm sorry. You put it on the right side, 5 inches from the bottom, and you start coming up.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Those that desire to have the crest, the patch, they're $25. You can get them at the time of registration. You can put them on after you're ordained. They go on your ticket. Those that already have ministries, I really encourage you to get your patches, get them on your tippets before the service. You designed your crest, and you have your tippet, your patch. You can put it on your tippet so that when you bring it, you can turn it in. Thank you. Anything else, Apostle? Okay. All right. So we're going to go to Bishop so we can get in with the evangelists, the elders, just the elders. We've done the evangelists. And some of the wording that they're going to encounter on the program. Bishop Isaac.
Hey, how you doing? You can hear me clearly?
I hear you clearly. How you doing?
All right. Hello, everybody. Hope everybody's doing well. Thank God this is the last week. We are excited. Please celebrate. All right.
Yay.
Well, good. You all are happy. Okay.
Yay.
So we're going to talk about... So we're going to talk about the Office of Elders, okay? I'm going to give you, once again, this is out of the Strong's Concordance. We can forward scripture to you later. But this is out of the Strong's Concordance, okay? This is just a base definition, once again. And we pray that the Holy Spirit will continue to enlighten you as of how you are to serve within, for some of you, the AEN, and for some of you, your local assembly, okay? And so the Office of Elders. Elders are appointed and ordained, and they are mature individuals who hold positions of responsibility and or authorities as guardian and overseers of the church, okay? This is according to Acts 14:23, Acts 20. 7, verse 17, and Titus 1 and 5. In addition, elders provide godly counsel, insight, and advice to pastors and the presiding officers that oversee congregations. That's according to Exodus 3:16, Exodus 4:29, Exodus 12:21, and Joshua 7, verse 6. They also receive instructions for various tasks regarding the church. So, for instance, they are to shepherd and lead the flock through humility. That's 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 3, and Acts 20 in its entirety. And they work hard and to reprove where necessary. That is 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 through 13. And they care for the spiritual and physical needs of the church. That's James 5. They rule the flock well, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. A sound doctrine rebukes those who teach in error. That's 1 Timothy 5:17, verse 18. Titus 1, verses 9 through 13. And so the qualifications of an elder can be found in 1 Timothy 3, 3:1-3, verses 1 through 7, and Titus 1, verses 6 through 9. So what is the elder? Once again, the elder is appointed, the elder is ordained, the elder is mature. What has happened in the past in other reformations, pastors were afraid to ordain elders because once an elder was ordained, they could technically go out. And this was 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s. They can go out and start another church. And that has been causing a run amok. And so this is where now in 2018 you'll hear terms like, in certain churches, associate ministers or things to that nature. And so that's just the mindset, but that was never supposed to be the definition of the elder, because if an individual is mature, then the individual understands that God has allowed me to walk in this office and I'm going to serve in this position, assisting the presiding officer that is overseeing the flock. And so elders are like, you know, if you have this shepherd, you also have the shepherd boys. And the shepherd boys or shepherd young shepherds would, you know, listen to the instruction of the head shepherd in following, not only following instructions, but also being eyes and ears to the body. Because the office of the elder is called to the church, the elder serves the church. And therefore, they look throughout and keep their eyes on the needs that are necessary within the church. They will also oversee other ministries that were within a church. And all of this was designed so that the presiding officer or the senior pastor, if you will, could give themselves more time to the word and study and prayer. And so elders would also be in teaching positions, not only just teaching throughout the word, but teaching in areas within the ministry that will help the kingdom of God begin to expand. Okay? And so, and that's a beautiful thing when you can have individuals like that. Now, there are all types of elders, of course. So there are elders, and we're going to adopt a term called suffragan elders. And these are elders who are, even though they operate in the office, they are operating administratively, and they operate in a position so that they can help the church body grow. Once again, I like to use this metaphor, if I haven't used it before. You know, Christ has this bride, and she's beautiful, and he is not just going to leave her in the hands of anybody. And so he left her in the hands of the fivefold, and they tend exactly and directly to the needs of the bride. Now, so where does the elders fall at? Well, the elders fall, along with the bishops and the deacons, they kind of fall as butlers. And so it's not that we don't have contact with the bride, is that we, our contact through the bride is ensuring that the house is well kept and making sure that everything is in place and preparing other places where the bride needs to go, if that makes sense. And so chauffeuring, you know, so it's that visual of what the elder does. The elder is a trusted individual, should be able to sit in council with the presiding officer that is overseeing a flock, and, you know, give suggestions, not to get upset if the suggestions aren't accepted, but just to sit, you know, you put an idea out. There was many times when I was in my eldership, I put an idea out, and that thing didn't come through until 15 years later. And in my immaturity at the time, you know, I'm walking around, pray for me, I'm walking around heated, you know, I'm being delivered right now. I'm walking around heated, like, man, nobody ever listened to me. This is a good idea. And then somebody had to pull me aside and said, you know what, it's not time. And it's like, well, but it's a good idea. Yeah, for you, it's great, and it'll work, but it isn't time. And so I had to learn that it's okay to put an idea out, and once it gets accepted, you know, it's good. If it doesn't get accepted, it's okay. You move on. You keep coming up with great ideas and suggestions. What that was tapping into for me was in the area of rejection, which is why I was having issues with it. But if I didn't know it was rejection on my part, then I would always feel like, you know, my ideas weren't being heard. And so, you know, it's that process that brings you through to maturity. And so that's what the elders does. You assist, you stick with the leader. Now, for the other pastors, like outreach and market pastors, the elder would, you know, not only oversee, and when I say oversee, you're not dictating, but you would be a watchman over those areas of ministry, attending to the needs that's necessary. If they're saying we need this, we need that, or what is a good idea, elders should be able to assist the senior leadership in being able to give suggestions as well as inform the senior leadership as of what happens, you know, reporting so that, you know, the house is kept in order. And so, you know, that's just a nutshell of what elders will do. You know, they work hard. And so it's not just all about preaching and teaching. These things are wonderful. They are included. They are the base of it. But it's also about being able to manage the kingdom of God and move forward. Or the area that the senior leadership, in this case, the apostle, sees fort for you to work in, which is why you go through the evaluations, your emotional status, your relationship status, how well you get along with people, what are your areas of strength, so you can see how you can be best utilized in the body of Christ. Now, you're going to see certain terms, adjectives in front of these offices, certain like apostolic or emergent. And so we use terms like this to classify or suffragant or a marketing. You know, you're going to see these type of titles that are before the title, but what it means, so if it's apostolic, these individuals have been called to serve in the kingdom. God has need of them, not only within the local assembly, but in the kingdom. Now, other reformations, other churches may not recognize you nor honor the fact that you are an elder. They may not, but that still does not alleviate you from still doing what God has called you to do in a way that is suitable and tailor-made for that ministry, if that makes sense. And so you coincide. You know, God does everything in decency and order. He is not the author of confusion. And so even if the church does not recognize you, or the organization does not recognize you, you still operate out of that because God has given you that level of authority. You'll see terms such as emerging. So these are individuals who they are up for candidacy into that office, and therefore they learn everything about it, serving. Can your presiding officer trust you? Can your presiding officer be able to give you a task and you complete it? Can they share something with you without you going out and causing ruckus? Can they trust you to be another voice in such a way that would at least never bring in confusion but clarity? You know, it's things to that nature. That's how the body of Christ begins to operate and it moves forward. And so emerging, they're learning. They give themselves to the teaching. They give themselves to the church. And one of the things that I would recommend for all elders is to evolve. And when I say get involved, if there's Bible study, go. Learn. Make yourself suitable to teach. Practice teaching. Get your family together and teach them, you know, get your neighborhood together, you know, practice those things, practice, hone those skills, be a trusted individual, see how you operate on the job. If some elders, a lot of elders are typically in some form of management positions or supervisory positions or chief assistants over certain units. See, all of those things are practice in helping you to become who God has called you to be. You're part of a governmental office, and so therefore, as an elder, you have to think that way. What's going to help establish the foundations that God sees necessary for the body of Christ? And so emerging and apostolic or marketing or suffragant, and so those things is not minimizing who you are, but it speaks to and clarify the special gifts that's within you. And so I'll say it like that before I move forward. Are there any questions? Any questions? Okay. All right. And so during this weekend, so remember, appointed, somebody points you out, somebody ordains you. And so this weekend, what you're going to see is that for the candidates that are being ordained into the offices, you have your own track, if you will. You have a set of classes. You will be in there not only learning about the organization, but also bringing clarity to the process that you have been going through and learning, you know, certain things to look out for, going a little bit deeper with your gift assessment, exploring your journals and things of that nature. All of that is part of your exam. And keep in mind, Overseer is watching you. She watches how you respond to one another. She watches how you do certain things. She'll call you out on certain things, not to embarrass you, but to help you see certain functions within how you respond. For example, they were talking last week about, like, what were the questions about. And so I'm going to say there was a candidate last year who had the wrong set of questions. And I'm going to tell you, this candidate battled those questions like a professional. We were looking like, well, we know that's not that person's ministry. But they battled through that thing with accuracy and just gave the perspective and
Amen.
Moved on. And so it's one of those
Amen.
Things where you don't show face. Think it through, because it's all right. Think
yeah.
it through and filter it through the office that you are called through and those things.
Yeah.
And so you'll be in your – I'm sorry, Ozzy, you want to say something?
No, I just said yeah.
Yeah, I mean, wrong yeah. set of questions, stuff that didn't even apply. It was like, what? But yet we're able to, and didn't even flinch once. Just was like, oh, this is what's given me. This is what's set before me. Fine, here was my response. And so it's those type of things that you don't be nervous. Listening to the overseer when they're giving you instructions, you know, they watch that, because during the examination process, that shows you how you are. Like, you can see the pastors begin to rise in the examination process. You can see the elders rising. You see the minister. You start to see based off of certain things that they do. And I'm talking about stuff as did they help somebody understand the instructions that were set forth prior to them coming in. So you saw things like that. You see things, and all of that is part of your assessment. You know, especially for every pastor that says, you know, they love God but they don't like the people, you should probably reexamine that through prayer, because there's no way you're going to tend to a flock and not love the people. You have to have God's heart. That's why you are the pastor. And all the evangelists that feel they need to hit and run, no, I don't know where that came from. And if you can support it biblically, I'll back you up. Other than that, you are not the hit and run. Actually, the evangelist was a herald. And their garment was the crest of the king. And so they went before, and they gave the message, but they stood there while it was going on. So it is no hit and run. They stood there because they was representing the king. And so they took a hit, too. They got hit, then the king responded. And so yet, you know, it's one of those things where we need to allow our minds just to open up. And that's what the tracks are all about. That's what it's really all about. It's about you being able to say, you know what, I did the work, and now it's time for me to show what God is going to do through me. Now, what happens afterwards is the greatest question. And what we want people to understand is that the work isn't just beginning there. It started when you said yes to the Lord. And so, you know, you continue in the faith, you continue in the strength, and you work. And the word that we're using in this organization is you serve. The Bible says that Moses was faithful in all of God's house. And so you want to find yourself faithful in all of God's house and everything that is assigned to you. There are elders within this organization who are not recognized by their local assembly, and their local assembly knows that they are a part of our organization and makes it very hard for them. And yet they don't complain. They do what's necessary in their local house, and they fulfill the task of this organization. So
the bar is high. I'm going to say it just like that. The bar is high. If there's individuals who can do that, then you have to realize that God has put it in you to do what he has given you. Remember Stephen in Acts 1. Stephen in Acts 1, and I'm sorry, and I'll close with this. Acts 6, actually. God said, choose 7 men full of the Holy Ghost. So 7 men was orchestrating the needs of over 2 million people. 7 men. And so if 7 men can do that, and if 1 can chase 1,000 and 2 can chase 10,000, then we have the ability to be able to handle whatever's before us. And what we can handle, God would either grace you or show mercy, or it will allow those around you to build the support so that the task can be done. So we look forward to just enjoying you all's presence there. Enjoy it. Have fun. Get involved. Worship. Come to the services. Well, invite your guests. Definitely go to the classes. Check them out. Take a vacation. And when I say take a vacation in the seminar. You know, relax, bring your little drink, kick your feet up, learn something, apply it, utilize it. You know, make this weekend victorious so by the time you go forward, it'll just be a high time of celebration. So we welcome you, and this has been a great and a wonderful time, and I enjoy being able to speak with you from the midst of my heart. What has been invested in me, I invested into you.
Amen. Thank you so much, Bishop, for taking out time from your truly, truly busy schedule. We do appreciate his faithfulness and his investment into the lives of the children of God. Amen. We are going to prepare to close out this last phone conference for the 2018 class. So we will have Apostle, bless you. Is Prophet on the line? Okay. And then Apostle will bless us and prepare us for that which is to come. Amen. Yes. Before she does, are there any questions, any concerns that anybody might have? Some of you have been told that you're going to be called upon to do some things in the track, and you'll get certain clarity when you come. I suggest you get there registered by 8 o'clock, get in class by 8:15, 8:30. A lot of direction will be given. A lot of information will be distributed. A lot of that explanation for that information is going to happen in the early morning so that when it's time for our facilitators to come and minister to you, that they have their full time with you. So, again, be ready. Get your breakfast under your belt. And those that's coming in on Thursday, we realize you don't get breakfast beforehand, which would be kind of early, there will be some things in our track that might tie you over to your lunchtime. There is, you can go online to find out the different restaurants in that area, and you would go to the Schaumburg Convention Center online at the height, and then it'll list the restaurants that are in the vicinity to give you kind of an idea of what's around the area for your breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Okay? All right. So if there are no more questions, everybody got their clothes packed or packing, all their pieces and parts, and your journals are done, and you know those people that owe me, I am sure that you're going to make sure you owe no man except to love them. And so I'm going to have everything that I need from you. God bless you. It is my deepest, humblest honor to serve you. I am excited for you. We got some new things coming out of this class, last year's class. God is manifesting, and that is the name of this conference. And he is manifesting it to us. So we will now put it into the hands of the apostles.
We truly honor God for the opportunity to serve the destiny of God upon and in your lives and over your lives. We pray that you will come to have spiritual insight and wisdom of the gift of God that's in you, the word that's over you, and then the word that rests upon you. Our prayer is also that you understand how you fit, how the Holy Spirit has positioned you to be a part of a global kingdom. The Bible says there's many members but one body. So understanding what that one body looks like, and then the special gift that you are to the body of Christ. I pray that you understand the spiritual global impact that you have been assigned to make in the kingdom. And we don't take this opportunity lightly that we get to share with you, that we get to be a part of your process, that we get to pour into you, that we are iron that Holy Spirit will use to sharpen, and because we realize iron sharpens iron. And so while this is a process that is open to all are not able to avail themselves to it. So we honor God for who he sees you as in the kingdom and that he has allowed our path to cross. We look forward to serving you. Our constant fervent prayer is that you will have an experience with God that then becomes the platform for a lifestyle. We have all had phenomenal experiences, but that was it. It was an experience, and we gleaned from it, and then we moved on, and sometimes we found ourselves in other environments that we wished. Do you remember when we did, or when it was like that, or when the Spirit of the Lord had the leg grow back, or the blinded eyes open, or tumors began to fall off of people? Our prayer is simply that you will begin to have a series of experiences, that Holy Spirit will just kind of escort you into these experiences, preparation for lifestyle changes. Is our fervent prayer, this ordination committee that is overseen by Overseer Paulette Thornton and those that serve with her, it has been an honor to sit back and actually listen and watch the whole thing this year. And so I am excited because as you have been poured into, I have been poured into. I've appreciated and enjoyed that which has been shared. And I look forward to a new beginning as we all come together. This time next week, we'll all be together. And so I'm excited about the new beginnings that are started. And then about the ministries that will take forth moving forward. So I look forward to being in and doing ministry with you all over the next several years. Again, it has been my pleasure to serve you. May the blessings of the Lord be rich upon your lives and add no sorrow. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Thank you and good night. Praise the Lord.